We're listening to Little Raleigh Radio, the voice of downtown Raleigh. My name is Matt Dunn, and the name of the show is called Damaged Goods. And who do I have in the studio with me today?
Hey, this is Richard from Raleigh Zombie Walk.
Sorry, you try that one more time?
Yeah, I can do that. This is Richard from Raleigh Zombie Walk.
Awesome. Okay, yeah, so we're having a little technical difficulties there. It wouldn't be a show on Little Raleigh Radio, though, without technical difficulties. So
these things happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, we just heard October Country with a track called My Girlfriend is a Witch. I think everybody can relate to that song, you know?
Yeah.
And we heard Rocky Erickson with I Walked with the Zombie, The Ramones with Pet Sematary. It's one of my favorites. And we also heard The Misfits with Ghoul's Night Out, because you can't have Halloween without The Misfits. And to top off that set, you heard The Fall with I'm a Mummy. I mean, I figure if you have to tell people that you're a mummy, I mean, are you, you know, you're not that convincing, right?
No, you're really not dedicated to being a mummy in that case.
Yeah, that's right. So, we've got a special show here today. I guess you could say we're not really damaged goods today. We're damaged ghouls today. So, that's right. So can you tell me a little bit about the zombie walk? I don't know a whole lot about it. So,
well, yeah, absolutely. And I guess the first thing I'd like to do is just, you know, thank you for acknowledging the zombie apocalypse, because the mainstream media, they're giving it zero attention.
I know, they're like busy talking about, you know, Ebola and all
right.
That.
Right, oh, war in the Middle East, the stock market, Ebola, you know, the whole time, you know, we have zombies in our midst ready to eat our brains.
It's true, and which brings me to, I was going to mention the fact that, I don't know if you heard, they're selling Ebola hazmat costumes online for like $80.
Ebola!
Yeah, that's right. And people are upset about that, enraged, because they say it's, you know, too soon, it's insensitive and all that, so.
Yeah, because there are 8 people with Ebola in the country right now.
Yeah. So that's kind of an obscure costume if you think about it, then, you know. There's only 8 people with it, you know.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, go figure. Well, I wanted to also mention, Well, let's talk about the zombie walk a little bit first.
Yeah.
Before we get into the news section of the show. So, yeah, how long has it been going on for?
This will be the 8th year for the Raleigh Zombie Walk. So, the undead have been walking the streets of Raleigh for 8 years now.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah.
So, have you been involved that whole 8 years?
I've been going I've been organizing it for about the last 5 or 6. But, I went to the first one, and it is geeky undead fun. It is good stuff.
What what day is it? Like, where does it start and all that? Like,
yep. So October 25th, a week from Saturday, at 7:00, the undead will converge on Moore Square, right at the Acorn, and everybody will mill around a little bit while. There'll be some undead hijinks, and then we will head off through a prepared route through the city, and basically everybody's in their favorite zombie gear. Or if you want to be a victim, if you want to go ahead and run in screaming terror from the undead, you can absolutely do that. But the rest of us will just be walking through the streets of the city, you know, brains, brains! And, you know, the poor people sitting outside trying to eat their dinners, it terrifies them. But we'll go ahead and move through, go around the state capitol, and we'll have maps available, and maps will be online on our Facebook page. And we will end up back at Moore Square, maybe an hour and a half later, and then there is a zompocalyptic after party at Tiernan Oak.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, around 9 or so, everybody will go ahead and move over to Tiernan Oak. And one of the great things about Zombie Walk this year is that we are raising money for the American Red Cross. So it's the Triangle Area chapter. They are helping people right here in our own neighborhoods. They provide blood for people who need it. They help support military families. So we're going to be doing raffle sales. We'll be having live music. We'll have merchandise sales as well. We're going to have a photo booth. Everybody's welcome to our after party, but there is a suggested cover, so if you want to go ahead and help out the American Red Cross with a suggested cover, we would love to have it. But it's going to be fun. We're going to have 400 or 500 zombies just creeping around Tiernan Oak and Moore Square on October 25th.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what have the crowds been like before? Do you know? Do you have a figure on that?
You know, nothing official, but, you know, we're definitely into the hundreds. I would say last year, 350, and if the following on social media is any indication, and, you know, the amount of interest we're getting, we could have a good bit more. There could be a serious zombie plague this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Zombies have kind of, I mean, obviously with The Walking Dead popularity and all that, zombies are huge now.
Yeah, what is it, man? We like the idea of corpses getting up and walking around and eating us. Why is that?
I don't know. That kind of surprised me. I mean, I like The Walking Dead, but it surprised me because I felt like it was sort of a zombies hitting the mainstream, you know? Like, it sort of was like, I felt like it was the time that, like, now that it's on, like, a channel like AMC, you know?
Right, maybe zombies aren't cool anymore.
Yeah, like, they jumped the shark.
Everybody likes the zombies, right?
Yeah. There's also there was that zombie rom-com that's short for romantic comedy, for those that don't know. Did you hear about that? There was, I forgot the name of it.
Wait, was that the
Warm
book?
Bodies.
Oh, yeah, what is it called?
Warm Bodies.
Yeah, it's like a, I guess it's sort of like Twilight, but it's like a zombie couple. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, there's a book called Breathers, and that's another. So there's more than one rom-com out there, which you wouldn't think, but you know, hey necrophilia's a thing. Yeah,
that's true. It's hitting the big time. Well, hooray then. So I wanted to mention we had a little bit of Halloween news update here. Well, you know how they legalized marijuana in Denver, Colorado,
right?
Well, I guess in Denver, Colorado, the police department issued a video for parents showing them how to tell if their kid's candy has marijuana in it. I thought that was pretty amusing.
If they eat all the candy, your kids had marijuana in the candy.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
It said... Yeah, what's happening with a lot of the edible manufacturers who have focused on a hard or a soft candy is that the most cost-effective way for them to bring them to the market is to use knockoff candy. So they'll buy in bulk form, and then they infuse it by using vicious hash oil. I don't know what that means. Vicious? Is that what? Yeah, I guess.
Is that a brand?
I don't know. I'll have to check on that.
You'll check on that.
Yeah. Well, definitely. I guess parents in Colorado are really worried about that. And I think they put it on like Time Magazine or something as like, you know, like as like some type of epidemic problem that there's going to be marijuana in every little piece of candy you find.
Yeah, Stevie, I'm sorry. You can't have this piece of candy. I'll keep that for myself.
Yeah. That's right.
Remember when we used to be just afraid of razor blades, you know?
I know. You used to have poison apples or something. Yeah, I know.
It just gets worse and worse every year.
So, yeah, Stacey, now that you're here, could you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Stacey Wager, and I am representing the Nevermore Film Festival in Durham, North Carolina, and I'm also working with Richard on the Raleigh Zombie Walk.
And how long have you been doing the Nevermore Film Festival for?
Nevermore, I've been with them for about 7 years. This year will be the 16th year for the festival in February 2015.
Okay. And could you explain a little bit about Nevermore and like how it works and all that?
Sure. It's a 3-day film festival at the Carolina Theater in Durham, North Carolina. And it's mostly horror films, but we've expanded to... represent multiple genres of film, including some dark fantasy and science fiction as well. So it kind of runs the gamut. It's a 3-day festival. It's February 20th through 22nd. Every year it's in February. This year those are the dates. So we are now accepting submissions for short and feature films that we will weed through as a committee and watch over many sometimes painful hours for the next few months trying to find the cream of the crop to play at the festival this year.
Yeah, I was going to mention, have you heard about this new Christian found footage horror movie? It's called The Lock-In.
No.
It has something to do with, like, let's read the description here. It says, three high school seniors sneak a dirty mag into an overnight church lock-in, thus summoning demons. So, yeah, like, the demons come out of...
That's all you have to do to summon demons?
Yeah, you just read a dirty porno mag. But, yeah, it's called The Lock-In.
And I should have demons everywhere.
I know. So, I think you just need to have like one theater dedicated to just the absurd, most absurd movies you can think of, and that one will definitely be in there.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. And there's a trailer for it online for you guys listening at home, so if you're curious, yeah, it's called The Lock-In, so yeah. And it's the only found footage Christian horror movie that I'm aware of so far, so it's kind of its own genre, you know?
It's a groundbreaking film, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
That's a bar high for Christian horror films.
Yeah, excuse me, I have to go summon a demon right now?
Yeah, that's right.
So to speak.
I was also going to mention in Barrett Township, Pennsylvania, some guy, you know, shot a police officer a few weeks ago, which is not cool, but then because he did this like a couple months or several weeks ago, the town is like, oh, we're just going to cancel Halloween. And people are like, why are you going to cancel Halloween? Like saying that it's like too dangerous. So like, I guess it's okay to go out every other night, but
yeah, it sounded like they wanted to cancel Halloween anyways.
Right. Yeah. No, like they're just using it. And yeah, they're all saying that like, I mean, it's not like he said he's going to kill people on Halloween. He just was trying to get away, and he shot this police officer. So now they're saying, oh, well, we're just going to cancel Halloween. That's too dangerous.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they're also canceling Arbor Day.
That Arbor Day parade gets, a little too wild.
Damn it!
And I'm just also, it's just weird because, like, you know, he's also probably, like, long gone from that town anyway. I mean, he's probably not just hanging around town, like, going to the local, like, you know, diners and just waiting, him biding his time till Halloween, you know?
Yeah, I'm going to go to the next town over and ruin Halloween for them.
Yeah. He's not like Michael Myers where he's like going to come back and avenge, you know, everybody, or avenge his, you know, whatever on Halloween. It's just weird, but yeah. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. So, I don't know. I was just going to mention that, you know, Halloween has always been my favorite holiday. It's just so much fun, you know, like it's kind of, it's the best holiday because there's no stress involved. Like there's no family obligation. You don't have to get your, you know, aunt anything for Halloween. You don't have to even spend time with your family. So, you know.
Yeah, you get your pot-laced candy.
That's, yeah, exactly.
That'd be relaxing.
You go to your room with your dirty magazines. Yeah.
Exactly.
Night long.
That's right. And, you know, like the, I love those, like, goofy Halloween commercials that, I actually made a compilation of, like, a little DVD of, like, old Halloween commercials. They're really fun, you know? I don't know if you remember, there's a PSA. It's like, you remember all those anti-drug PSAs?
Right.
There's one that used to air during Halloween when I was a kid, and I don't know if you guys remember this or not, but he's called, like, the Snake Man or something. And basically, he's, like, this, like, gangster drug dealer guy who comes on the screen. He starts telling, you know, he's like, hey man, like, I'm gonna get you some hard drugs, man. And then, like, you know, like, he's like, I'm your buddy, like, I'm gonna, you know, give you some free pot and blah blah blah. And then you start doing coke and you'll start, you know, lying to your parents and all your homeboys. And then, you know, at the end he turns into like a giant snake man and like hisses at the screen, and then it says, like, you know, drug free's the way to be or something like that. It's pretty awesome. I wish we could play it on the air, but it would not have the same effect, obviously.
Yeah, because drugs are bad, but a guy who turns into a giant snake is somehow okay.
Well, you know, it's because he's a drug dealer, you know, he's just that evil, so yeah. oh yeah, and I also wanted to mention I had a, I always post this clip on Facebook every year on Halloween because it's awesome, but there's a, Freddy Krueger did like a rap song with the Fat Boys. Have you guys heard that before?
No.
No.
Yeah.
But I have to now.
Yeah, I'm going to play it in a little bit here. Yeah, Freddy Krueger did a collaboration with the 80s rap group the Fat Boys, which if you're not aware, they are an overweight rap group. And they used to rap about eating, how much food they can eat and all that.
Yeah, their name really wouldn't imply that.
Yeah. And it's also a special clip because before the music video starts, you'll just have to imagine the music video in your head. But before the music video starts, there's a clip on CNN where they interview Freddy Krueger about the music video and the Fat Boys. And the CNN anchor keeps making like fat puns about how overweight the band is, you know? It's pretty awesome.
That's insensitive.
Yeah, no. It was just too good. And of course, I have the DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince rap song, Nightmare on My Street. Because, you know, I mean, it's just classic. And it seems like everybody made a song about Freddy back in the day. He was big.
Yeah, big cultural icon.
Yeah, he's my favorite of the horror movie bad guys. Do you guys have a favorite?
Ooh, I don't know. You're the Nevermore person. You watch so many of these things.
I've got a sweet spot for Freddy Krueger as well.
Oh yeah.
But my favorite horror movie of all time is American Werewolf in London. But it doesn't really have, you know, a cool bad guy per se.
Well, I think I liked Freddy Krueger because he's charismatic and witty and all that, but also because he became like, they had children's toys and all that, but this guy was like a total child murderer, you know? Like, it didn't make any sense to me. Like, I have the talking Freddy Krueger doll where you pull like a string and he talks, and it just fascinates me that it got to that point, you know. And they had like a Nintendo game the kids could play. Like, it was just very like, I'm surprised they didn't have like a breakfast cereal, you know. Like, that would have,
it shows you exactly how far charisma will go.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Ted Bundy, he's a great guy.
And of course I love Jason from Friday the 13th. Yeah, I got, last year I got a documentary called Crystal Lake Memories, which is like a complete history of the Friday the 13th movies. Have you guys seen it?
Mm-mm.
No.
It's pretty amazing. It's like 5 hours long, so you have to watch it in like, I had to watch it about four times. Like, I had to sit down and watch little bits of it, but it's really fun, and it's narrated by Corey Feldman, star of Friday the 13th Part 4. And it opens with like him at a campfire telling these kids like a ghost story about Jason Voorhees. So it's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
The most terrifying part of that is you're actually camping with Corey Feldman.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, you know that if you walk into the tent that's filled with cocaine, you know which whose tent that is. I love the clip of on the Arsenio Hall show. They had Jason Voorhees on. Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you got to see that. I'll have to send that to you. It's pretty awesome. It's like they were Friday the 13th part 17 or whichever part it was. They had Jason Voorhees came on the Arsenio Hall show and in full gear and all that. Like, not like the guy who played him, but like Jason came out and, you know, since he never talks in the movies, he just like kind of like creepily stared at Arsenio, and Arsenio tried to interview him, and he just like glared back at him, and I think at one point he tries to reach over and choke him, and it's pretty awesome. Yeah,
we all had that moment where we wanted to do that, I'm sure.
Right, exactly. It's a classic clip, though. You know, it's like the only time I remember seeing Jason Voorhees on the late night talk show circuit. But anyway, yeah. So speaking of all that, let's go into some more music. So let's play a little bit of the Fat Boys featuring Freddy Krueger. He's definitely my favorite rapper of all time, Freddy, so, you know. I'll see if you guys agree or not. But anyway, we'll be back a little bit. We'll talk some more about zombies and ghouls and goblins and really terrible Halloween costumes, because I have a lot to say about that. So yeah, we'll see you in a little bit.
Collaborator may be someone scare the rap out of him. Nightmare on Elm Street's Freddy Krueger. The rap group, Prince Marky D. Morales, Damon Wimbley, and the human beatbox Darren Robinson composed their rap as a tribute to Freddy. They're unquestionably the film series' biggest fans. And we do mean biggest.
One, two, three, go.
Now the place was Elm Street late one night, looking like a ghost town on his sight.
With the hat like the vagabond,
like a flash gun.
Freddy Krueger himself, actor Robert Englund, comes to the shooting still sharp shortly after finishing work on Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Now, you can have a split, or you can have a car. Would you like death, or you wake up dead?
Freddy's been seen as a favorite of the heavy metal crowd, but Englund says his appearance in a rap video is, if not unnatural, a supernatural anyway.
Freddy's got soul now. Yes, Freddy's urban. He's street. He's rapping. Rap or die.
So my advice to you is to stay ready, because you know who's back.
Freddy. The Fat Boys video, Are You Ready for Freddy?, is kind of a pilot, testing out an idea for a horror comedy film for the Fat Boys, currently carrying the working title Fat Wolf. That'll have to wait for the group's heavy touring schedule, though. Work is expected to begin on that film project next summer. Dennis Michael, CNN Entertainment News.
Hello, you are still listening to Little Raleigh Radio, the voice of downtown Raleigh. And the name of the show is called Damaged Ghouls. And I am your co-host, Matt Dunn, a.k.a. DJ Two-Headed Dog. And who do I have, again, in the studio with me? Are you still here, guests?
We are still here. I'm Richard from Raleigh Zombie Walk.
And Stacey from Nevermore Film Festival.
All right. And, yeah, so what did we just hear there real quick? We heard the Sonics with a track called The Witch. We also heard the Cramps with I Was a Teenage Werewolf. We also heard Ralph Nielsen and the Chancellors with Scream. And we heard DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince with Nightmare on My Street. And, of course, to top off that set, you heard the Fat Boys featuring Freddy Krueger with a track called Are You Ready for Freddy? That's the only Freddy Krueger rap song that I'm aware of, so.
Thank God.
He's just waiting, you know, until Kanye West says yes to a collaboration. So
it's only a matter of time.
Only a matter of time. That's right. So yeah, I was going to ask you about some of the swag you've got.
Yeah. So this year for Zombie Walk, it's become a big thing. Remember, Zombie Walk is October 25th, 7 o'clock. The Horde assembles on Moore Square. But yeah, we have zombie swag. So we have men's and women's T-shirts. We have posters. We have decals, really nice die-cut decals you can put on your laptop or you can put on your car. And we have drink koozies. And there are a couple ways you can get this. I'll start with the hard way. So the hard way is you can go online and, get this. It's RaleighZombieWalk.myShopify.com. But it's not that easy. It's Raleigh-Zombie-Walk.myShopify.com. So that's the hard part. And we have the e-commerce store. But the easy part is just find Raleigh Zombie Walk on Facebook and then find the link to My Shopify. And you can go on and you can buy your stuff online. And we will go ahead and arrange pickup for your swag, or we'll go ahead and hold it for you at Zombie Walk. You can come get your cool swag.
You can also have a, we'll put up a link to that on damagegoodsradio.com. So yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So yeah. And, Stacey, I was going to ask you, what was some of the best stuff you had last year at the Nevermore Film Festival? What were some of your favorites?
Last year we had a great little independent film called The Shower that was done by some guys out in California who are currently, they're still on the festival circuit and they're on Facebook. It's a really fun sort of crazy virus film. We also had quite a few studio films. We had one called Open Grave, and we had one called The Returned, which was one of my favorites of the year because it was another sort of zombie virus film, but it had a slightly different take on it. So I thought it was really interesting and had great character development and building in it. So we have quite a variety of films every year, and then we also have two or three shorts programs. So a lot of the films that we end up reviewing during the submission season are short films, and those are the types of films that you don't get to see anywhere. They're never going to be probably released on DVD or play at a movie theater or anything, so those are always a good time.
And do you show a handful of the classics every year? Do you do that?
We do. We usually have two or three bring back films, sort of retro films. We showed The Tingler last year, so that was like a really, really older one. And a few years ago we played, I think, Dawn of the Dead. And so we typically have some kind of classic films, but we usually only have a couple of them because we like to really encourage independent filmmakers and sort of showcase the films that you wouldn't otherwise get to see.
Have you played the Dawn of the Dead board game from the 70s?
No, I have not.
I have not either. I really want it, though. It's kind of hard to find, but it's pretty awesome that exists. I was just going to mention, that made me think about board games, and I have, like, a few of the horror-themed board games, and I have, like, of course, the Nightmare on Elm Street board game, because why wouldn't there be one? And I have this one called Nightmare, and I don't know if you've ever played heard of that one, Richard, or not, but it's pretty amazing. No. It's so I brought it to my friend Seth's birthday, and he had never played it before, and I made it he liked it so much he made us play it twice. He said, this is the best board game I've ever played in my life.
And what's the objective of the game? What are you trying to do?
Okay, so it's a VCR board game, and it comes with a videotape. There's also a modern DVD version for those of you who, you know, aren't stuck in 1995 like me. And basically it's the tape is hosted by this guy called The Gatekeeper, who's like a low-rent version of the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt. And he comes on the screen and he like yells commands at you while you're playing the game. And he'll be like, he's like in a creepy dark room and there's like menacing, like creepy music playing, and the music starts getting faster and creepier as the tape goes on. And you have to beat him and all the other players while you're playing the game. You're supposed to dim the lights so it's like, oh, you know, sets the mood for the game. But anyway, he comes on the screen and he'll be like, "You there with the dice?" And you have to say like, "Yes, my gatekeeper." And you have to answer him. So he always asks questions. He'll be like, even though obviously he can't hear you back. And he'll be like,
there's no guarantee of that.
Right. That's true. He'll be like, "What is your name?" And, you know, like, you there playing right now with the dice. And you'll be like, "Oh, my name is Matt." And he'll be like, "That is a stupid name, maggots." And he just talks trash to you the whole time. And he'll be like, "Who is the youngest person?" And you'll be like, "Oh, it's me." And he'll be like, "Well, you lose the next five turns, you know." And he'll just be like, you know, who is the oldest person, and then they'll talk about how like withered and old looking you are, and how like
the gatekeeper sounds like a jerk.
Yes. And yeah, it came out of the early 90s, and it like I guess was like this weird Australian board game, and it kind of became like a cult classic, and they made a bunch of new versions of it, and it's pretty entertaining. It's a really fun game to play. So it's kind of hard to find, but you can go on eBay and find a copy of it. It's definitely a blast, and I'm gonna have like a Halloween board game night probably next week or so.
I had a Scooby-Doo game when I was a kid, and it was a Scooby-Doo board game, but it had all these gears, so you can move things like a mystery machine would go around when you turn the gears, but this thing was so incredibly complex, it was worse than Mousetrap, and it would draw blood, you know, your fingers would get caught between the gears, and it would absolutely, you'd hurt yourself on this thing.
Nice. Yeah, that makes me think of, have you played I Want to Bite Your Finger? That's like a Dracula board game from the 70s, and it's like you somehow you have to put your finger through like Dracula's teeth and he'll bite them, and it seems like this game that's too dangerous for today's
kids. Wasn't the time with Uncle Steve when you're on vacation.
No.
this was a board game. You sure you just haven't supplanted that in your subconscious?
No, it's for real.
Right. You say so.
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't have that one either, because it's kind of, I've gone into some intense bidding wars for it on eBay, but believe it or not. But yeah, I don't know if you might be able to imagine, but my house is kind of like a Halloween all year. Someone asked the other day if I was going to decorate, and I was like, "No, there's not."
That'd be the point, yeah.
Yeah, like, what am I going to take down on my Halloween decorations? Like, how would I do that? I don't know. But yeah, I was going to ask you guys, what's the worst horror movie you've ever seen?
Ooh, you see so many of them. She has to sit through hours and hours of these things.
That's true.
It would be so hard to choose one, right?
Or you need to stand out.
Yeah,
you
know. I can't really call that out. I mean, it would definitely have something that had been submitted to our film festival. Because, I mean, there are a lot of really no-budget
right.
films that come in, and we do watch them at least some of us try to watch them, and they're really, really bad. I mean, there are some that are amazing, and those are the ones that I get really excited about. But, yeah, I've seen a lot of really horrible horror films, and it's typically all crammed in right around Christmas, because that's when we got to finish watching our annual submissions by.
That's right. Well, I was just going to mention... Well, I'm pretty sure you've seen it, Stacey, but Birdemic.
Oh, God, yes.
Have you seen that, Richard?
I haven't. But...
Do you know about it? Have you heard about it?
I haven't.
Okay, so Birdemic is... How would you describe it, Stacey? It's like the Birds ripoff, the Alfred Hitchcock movie. It's like a really, really bad ripoff.
It's like a heavy-handed, eco-friendly, preachy, wannabe Birds ripoff. Yeah.
It came out like in the 2000s, though. Mm-hmm. And it's like... Basically, this guy came to America from Vietnam, and he wanted to make this environmental movie about how we're destroying the environment. And he somehow got like $10,000, which it looks like it was about a $500 budget. But basically, he doesn't call it a horror movie, even though it is. It's like he calls it like a romantic thriller. That's what he calls it. And there's like this, the guy and the girl, the main couple, like they have their love story going back and forth. So like the first hour, there's no birds in it. And then all of a sudden, spoiler alert, the birds show up on the screen and they start attacking everybody because everybody is polluting and using too much gas. And, you can tell it's heavy-handed because at one point they go on a double date to see An Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore movie. and they're like, wow, that was a great movie, guys.
Well, it seems like a fair trade-off. You know, I just washed my car and he took a dump on the windshield. You know?
Yeah.
The best part is they don't actually use any real birds in
That's
the
correct.
Film. They are the worst CGI birds you'll ever, ever see in any film.
They look like... birds that might be in like a really bad like Super Nintendo game, you know, like they
ape it.
Yeah, no, they really do, and they go on the screen and they start flapping, but they don't move. They just stay in one space and just flap for like a minute, and then the character like on the screen like falls over and dies. And it's I saw it. I used to work in a movie theater in Greensboro called the Carousel, and I didn't know anything about it. I was like, I didn't know what it was or anything. And we screened it as a midnight movie one night, and the entire theater was in tears of laughter. Like, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, I totally lost it. And I just think it's kind of remarkable in how bad it is.
Well, you've seen Troll 2, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Another bad one.
Yeah, have you seen that one, Richard?
No.
Okay, so we're gonna have to give you some homework.
Yeah, I think I deserve an education here.
Yeah, well, Troll 2 is, you know, people say it's like the worst horror movie ever made, and they made a documentary about it called Best Worst Movie, which is really, really good. But so even if you don't like horror movies, the documentary is pretty fun. But if you don't like horror movies, why would you be listening? Anyway, yeah, so basically this Italian director made a movie called Troll 2. It has nothing to do with the first Troll. There's not even any trolls in the movie.
No.
They are goblins, but I guess the movie company changed the name to Troll 2 to capitalize on Troll 1.
All right, so it's not about a mean guy that just says cruel things on the internet.
No. It should be. I mean, I would enjoy that too, but because I can be a troll myself. But anyway, so basically it's like this family goes on vacation to a town called Nilbog, which is goblin spelled backwards. And they don't realize this, and the town is filled with vegetarian goblins who turn them into plants so they can eat them. Yeah.
why don't they just eat plants?
I don't know.
Plants?
Well, the documentary sort of explains it. They say that, you know, I think the director's wife said that she wrote it because all of her friends were becoming vegetarians at the time, and she just really couldn't stand that, so she wrote this movie about it.
Okay, so it seems like you become a vegetarian for one of two reasons. One, you have a moral issue with killing an animal, or two, for health reasons, and so it's got to be the health reason, because they have no issue with the moral killing. Cause,
right.
Yeah, all right.
Right, pretty much.
It's important to know motivations.
Yeah, no, but they came out this documentary a few years ago called Best Worst Movie. I think it's on Netflix Instant. But yeah, they had like a screening at Elon University, and I went and met the dad and the son from Troll 2. It was really fun. And it's just, you got to see Troll 2. It's just totally nuts. It makes no sense at all. The popcorn scene, do you remember the popcorn scene, Stacey? Like, I don't even know how to describe that. It doesn't... Like, this girl tries to seduce this guy with, like... Because, I guess some people say that, like, chocolate is supposed to be sexy. I don't agree, but... Some people say that, like, chocolate is supposed to be sensual or whatever, but she has, like, a corn on the cob, and she... like I said, it's not going to make any sense, but...
That would totally work. I love corn on the cob.
Well, because it gets so hot in the room, the corn starts popping and becomes popcorn, and they're just making out in a room filled with popcorn. That's the best way I could describe it. So it's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. And I think what makes it so charming, though, is that it's like, you know, I, as you can probably tell, I have this kind of obsession with bad movies, but like, they're the ones that try to be bad, they're the ones that try to be good and fail miserably. Like, those are the ones I think are the best, because anybody can go out there and make like a crappy horror movie and be like, oh, you know, like, I could go out, I have a camera, so I could go out in my backyard and make one, and it probably would be the worst thing ever, but I would be self-aware of that, so it's not quite the same as like some Italian guy who thinks he's making like a serious masterpiece like Troll 2. So
yeah, there's a certain honesty to that.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like I know too much about that stuff to know like that it would be, I'm not saying I won't ever make a kind of cheesy horror movie, but it wouldn't be the same, you know what I mean? It would be like campy, and I would be, it's self-aware, which is okay sometimes, but you know, stuff like Sharknado is definitely very aware of itself, so it's not like a, you know, they're not like trying to make a, so when people say it's like the best bad movie, Sharknado, I'm like, well, I don't know, I mean, it's kind of a different vibe.
Right, you think the makers, their feelings have to be hurt. That seems like that would be the mark for knowing that you made a really good bad movie.
Right.
You made it, you wanted to be a masterpiece, you screwed up miserably, and people said it, now you just feel bad.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, the Sharknado, the Sharknado guys want you to say it's a bad movie.
Well, right, exactly, yeah. Which, you know, I guess that has its place, but, you know, I guess it's a little bit different, though.
It doesn't have the same appeal. It's an intentionally bad film, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know if it's as rewatchable as, like, something like Troll 2, but anyway, I should have a Troll 2 party. I haven't had one in a while, and I can always find, like, a bunch of people who haven't seen it yet. So it's just sort of like converting people into this weird cult, you know. Oh, yeah, I was also going to mention, I watched Chopping Mall last night and Death Spa. Have you guys seen Chopping Mall?
No, but I did just see Paul Blart Mall Cop.
Mall Cop. That's how would you give that two thumbs up, or did you?
I was the only reason I stayed through it is because it was on an airplane. I couldn't get out of the airplane.
Well, like Chopping Mall is just like a basically it's a horror movie about some kids who get it's an 80s movie where these kids get trapped in the mall, and well they don't get. I guess what they want to have a party after the mall closes, and they work in a furniture store, which is perfect because there's beds in the furniture store.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah. So they have this party after the mall closes, and the mall has these new robot security guards that are supposed to like stop burglars. And
they have those at Triangle Town Park Mall, by the way.
I believe it. And then the robots get struck by lightning, and then the robots start acting up and shooting the kids with laser beams and making their heads explode.
That happened to my Roomba.
It's awesome. You got to see it. And I sent an email to the director, Jim Wynorski, like a short little email. I was just like, hey, you know, I love Chopping Mall. It's one of my favorite movies. And he wrote me back and he said, thanks, Mike. That's it's one of my favorite movies too. And I couldn't figure out if like he, you know, was trying to be like an asshole or he knew like what he was. I don't know, but
he probably does what I do and you're inadvertently an asshole,
right? Yeah. I think his picture on Facebook was like him with like five stripper looking women crowded around him, if that gives you an idea of what he's like. So yeah. And he makes there's a documentary about him on Netflix also. He makes like softcore. His career is going so well, he's making softcore, like, B-movies now. Like, The Witches of Brestwick or something like that. Like, I think that's what it's called. But, yeah, that's pretty entertaining stuff. So, yeah. I was going to... Also, since we're talking about the zombie walk, favorite zombie movies?
Okay, let's see. Boy, that's all right, hold on. Let me think. Okay, so we have some more recent remakes. We have the remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
That was really well done. That thing had heart. It was fun.
Kind of shocked me because remakes are usually terrible. Like, they're almost always, in my opinion, a bad idea.
Well, you know what they had to do? They had to take it out of Romero's hands because Romero he became a parody of himself,
right?
And
right.
He came out with Land of the Dead, where all of a sudden you have the zombies. You know, they're self aware, and no, don't want self aware zombies. I want zombies driven by instinct to consume the flesh of the living. You know,
well, of course, yeah. Yeah, that is kind of a weird thing if you think about it, but yeah. That's a really good one. I also really like Return of the Living Dead from the 80s. That's one of my favorites.
Yep. Campier, of course.
Yeah, but,
so good.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Again, teenagers, this time in a cemetery, right?
Yeah, yeah. And
Wait, is that the one with the teenagers, or is that the one where the guy's working in the lab where they have the medical supplies?
It's like the medical supplies.
Oh, okay, I got it mixed up.
There are teens in it, too, though, so I don't know if that's what you...
Okay, right. So, yeah, I remember the half-dog. Remember the half-dog?
Yeah, the half-dog is awesome.
They release the mist and it reanimates the dead, and you had in a biological kind of medical supplies lab a half dog for veterinary schools, and all of a sudden things started barking. That was great.
I would love to get like a half dog tattoo. That'd be pretty cool, right?
That would be good. Yeah,
yeah.
You could do on one arm. You could do the inside of the dog. On the other side, you could do the outside of the dog. Regular dog. Inside of dog.
I like that. Maybe I could do that live on the show and we can see if I could still, DJ while I'm getting tattooed, right?
I love it. It's $1 million idea. Get that sponsored.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's so I can get it for free. But what about you, Stacey? Do you have any favorites?
I tend to skew more towards horror comedy. So I like Fido, I think, is a really fun
so good.
Little
zombie.
I have not actually seen that.
Really? It's great. It's sort of set in this, like, suburban 50s style world where they zombies have we've had a zombie apocalypse and people start keeping zombies as pets and as
servants,
gardeners and workers,
sex slaves,
also all of the above. So but it's really cute, it's really funny. I also like, I am on the fast zombie side of things.
I was going to ask about that. Yeah.
So I like 28 days later, 28 weeks later.
Okay.
Like that.
Technically the rage virus, but we won't split hairs here.
All right.
And I also like the original Night of Living Dead. It's a, I think it's a pretty amazing movie.
Right. It's a, you know, a cultural touchstone and yeah, a commentary on our consumerist culture.
Oh yeah. And of the movie Zombie, the Italian horror movie from the 70s. Have you guys seen that one?
I have not seen that one.
Oh, it's pretty awesome. It has there's one scene where the zombie like jumps in, I forget why, but he jumps into the water and he has a battle with a shark, and there's like a zombie versus shark thing, and it's sort of, you'd have to see the movie to see who wins. I don't want to spoil it. You know?
Yeah, and I think I've seen that. I've seen yeah, that scene. Kind of, I'm pretty sure you could Google that and call that up in just a moment. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a really good one, and it's a serious one though. It's not like, I do like serious movies too, believe it or not. Some people think I only like the goofy, stupid ones. But yeah, that's definitely a classic. And I'm trying to think of some other ones. I haven't seen as many of the new ones, so I need to catch up on that. So
yeah, big fan of Shaun of the Dead.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's good stuff. And
oi, brick.
And the, well, I was gonna say that, you know, with, I think with, especially with newer horror movies, that everyone wants to make a horror movie now, so I feel like you have to sift through like all, I mean, you know all about this, Stacey, sifting through like kind of the garbage, as you might say, like so oftentimes I'm kind of a little hesitant to watch something because like I hate spending 2 hours on something that just is totally unwatchable. Like, it's really difficult for me, especially with my attention span these days. It's very waning. So
me too. I either like my horror movies to be really good or really bad, and there's this vast array of mediocre in between, and those are the ones like I don't want to see at all.
Well, yeah, and I agree. I think that the worst thing a movie can be is boring or mediocre, mm-hmm. because there's so many movies where someone will be like, have you seen this? And I'll be like, yeah. And then I realize that I can't remember a single thing about the movie. And that to me is odd, that if you can't even remember like what happened in the movie or anything, it's like, damn. But yeah, I love, I also like The Walking Dead. I need to catch up on that. I know some people don't like it, but some people have been criticizing it, saying it jumped the shark. But what do you guys think?
I don't know. It's still holding up for me. Because, you know, the whole idea behind the comic book, they said it's a story about people. It's a character-driven drama that just happens to have zombies. And,
yeah.
And I love that, because, yeah, the whole thing is, and during, what, like the second or third season, really was just a bunch of people having arguments, and then occasionally a zombie showed up. But I like that. You know, it drove the narrative forward. So
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah, have you seen the first season 5 episode yet?
No, I have not. I'm several seasons behind, so yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah, got to catch up. They're in Terminus now.
That's, okay.
The people in a Terminus, a community, were drawing people in so to bring them there for their nefarious means, but I won't let you know what happens.
Well, it seems like horror movie horror-themed TV shows is, like, the big thing now. Because you've got, like, the Hannibal... Isn't there, like, two Hannibal Lecter shows, which is confusing to me?
There are two? I know Hannibal.
There's one that's, like, has Buffalo Bill or something, but for legal reasons, I can't use Hannibal Lecter in it. It's weird. There's some legal battle about that.
I just started watching Hannibal. I'm, like, one season in.
So. Okay, yeah. Is it good?
Yeah, it's really good, actually. I like the acting and the writing, so... I'll probably keep watching it.
What about American Horror Story? Do you watch that?
Yes, love it.
What's your opinion? I mean, I haven't watched it yet, so I'm kind of...
You haven't watched any?
No.
Seasons?
I have not.
It's really good. I like that they have the same cast members coming back season after season playing different characters.
Okay.
And it's basically a mini-series every season, so it's a completely different story, different characters, different setting. This one that just started is Freak Show Carnival sort of themed, so it's starting out really interesting with one of the scariest looking clowns I've seen since It.
Okay,
that's saying a lot. There are some really freaky clowns out there.
Scarier than have you seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
Yes, I have.
Which those just look like a bunch of weird looking meth heads, I think. But yeah,
like a bunch of juggalos.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much. Well, yeah, I know I'm way behind on stuff. I need to catch up on it. It's just that, you know, watching a whole series, especially if you're like three or four seasons behind, is a lot of time. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is, you know, all the Walking Deads are on Netflix now, and American Horror Story too. It's matter of fact, my kid, he was in the other room watching American Horror Story last night, and I heard him in the other room just going, "Oh, that's scary!"
Well, I like that because I feel like for a while. I mean, I don't remember growing up as a kid, there were a bunch of horror TV shows on, and then it felt like for a while there was nothing, and I guess it's sort of making a comeback, so that's good.
Yeah, back in the day, Dark Shadows. You ever watched Dark Shadows?
I never really watched. I mean, I watched Tales from the Crypt. I watched that.
Right.
I watched Are You Afraid of the Dark on Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. of course. And I watched
Goosebumps.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I was too old for that, but I watched it a little bit. But yeah, I guess did you hear they're doing a Goosebumps movie?
No.
Yeah, it's coming out next year. I don't know who's in charge of that or anything, but I guess we'll have to see. I like the one. I always like the one Goosebumps cover that was like. It was like Say Cheese and Die, and it was like a family of skeletons having a family cookout, and like flipping burgers on the grill. So that's a classic one. But yeah, well let's play some more music. I was gonna play some Alice Cooper with a track called "I Love the Dead" because who doesn't like the dead?
And I like the dead.
Yeah,
when you organize the zombie walk, it's kind of a prerequisite.
Not the Grateful Dead, but like the dead dead. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Dead.
Yeah. And some Black Sabbath, and you know, some good stuff like that. So we will see you in a little bit. Hello, you are listening to Little Raleigh Radio. The name of the show is called Damaged Ghouls. Usually we're damaged goods, but for today we are damaged ghouls. And I'm your co-host. My name is Matt Dunn. Who do I have in the studio with me today?
Hey, it's Richard from Raleigh Zombie Walk.
And Stacy from Nevermore Film Festival.
That's right. And yeah, we've just been hanging out talking about the greatest holiday on the planet. If you disagree, you are wrong.
Columbus Day.
Well, I have a bone to pick with that one, but yeah. We're not going to go there, though. We don't really have time for that. We don't really have time for, like, a student lecture, you know. But yeah, what did we just hear there? We heard a TSOL with a track called Silent Scream. We heard The Birthday Party, which is Nick Cave's band before he became Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. That was a track called Release the Bats. And you heard Black Sabbath with the song Black Sabbath, which was the first song they ever wrote, I believe. And we also heard Alice Cooper with I Love the Dead, because you really can't have Halloween without Alice Cooper. So, and yeah,
which is why there was no Halloween before Alice Cooper.
Exactly. Yeah, he invented it. So yeah, Richard, you went to the his restaurant, hey?
I did. Cooperstown. Yeah, Cooperstown in Cleveland, Ohio.
Was that the greatest restaurant experience you've ever had in your life?
It's like an Applebee's with Alice Cooper stuff sitting around.
Well, hey, I'm sold, you know.
Yeah.
Got to get my chicken quesadillas and my margaritas with, you know, staring at Alice Cooper merch.
Nothing says Alice Cooper like curly fries.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah, so what are we going to talk about?
Zombie walk.
Yes. So you were going to, well, I'm going to let you talk for a minute.
Yeah. So zombie walk is, if you like nerdy, undead fun, zombie walk is the thing to do. It's the eighth year this year, October 25th, a week from Saturday. And here's what's going to happen. About 7 o'clock, if you're anywhere near Moore Square, you're going to see walking corpses assembling, shambling around, and then proceeding through the city in, you know, this zompocalyptic terror fest. So you'll see these guys go through. And around 9 o'clock at Tiernan Og, everybody will assemble back at Tiernan Og for an after party, and there we'll be raising money for the American Red Cross. So we'll have live music, we'll have raffles, we're gonna have merch, we'll have photo booths, and it's gonna be wacky.
It's gonna be blood money, right?
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, but everything's for the American Red Cross, and they do really good work right here. It is the Triangle Area chapter, so it's local. They help military families, of course. You know, if you've ever had anyone who had surgery or been in an accident and needed blood, chances are it's the American Red Cross who helped them out, and they do just very good things, making sure that families in crises are taken care of. And you know, it's great that you know, we get to go ahead and be weird and do zombie walk, and at the same time help people right around here.
And what do they do? Does the American Red Cross show up when there's like a zombie attack, or do they?
I would imagine, yeah, a zombie apocalypse would be the perfect scenario for Red Cross response teams.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw a couple, like it was a year ago or so, maybe they had a special on like I think it was the Discovery Channel about the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Did you see that?
I heard about it. I didn't see it. I live this thing. I'm ready. Right. I know exactly what's going to go down.
They were just interviewing all these people that had their like basement stockpiled with canned food and were just loading up on guns and all that and waiting for the apocalypse. And it was a very serious, though. It wasn't like they were being like funny, wink, wink. They were... It was scarily serious for a zombie apocalypse special, so yeah.
Yeah, we're being funny, wink, wink, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Don't bring guns.
No, definitely. Yeah, please don't.
Yeah.
So you've got a little map here. I like this map. This is awesome.
Yeah, matter of fact, that thing's going to go online. So if you want to learn more about the Zombie Walk, we're right on Facebook, so just look up Raleigh Zombie Walk on Facebook, and all the stuff's there. So we have a prepared route through the city. And, you know, the one thing, Zombie Walk wouldn't be possible without a lot of folks, supporters helping us out. So, of course, we're helping out the American Red Cross, but the people who have helped us, Tiernanogue Irish Pub, the Oak City Hustle, Kilt Culture, Have a Blast Pictures, Danceformation, Redbird Screen Printing, and then a bunch of businesses locally have given us raffle prizes, and that helps us raise money for the American Red Cross. So, you know, Raleigh's really come together to help us be weird.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Stacey, I was going to ask you about the Retro Phantasma Festival. That's going on right now currently, isn't it?
The Retro Phantasma film series is at the Carolina Theater, and it's one of the longest running genre film series in the country, I believe, or at least in the Southeast. And it started off some time ago as a horror-themed double feature once a month on Friday nights, but it's gained so much popularity recently that it's expanded to cover different types of genres of film. So they have sort of a comedy, one night a month they'll do a comedy double feature, and they also do sort of a horror classics double feature. So they kind of mix it up, and there's different stuff almost every Friday night at the Carolina Theater in Durham now. Tomorrow night, in celebration of the Halloween season, I believe the double feature is The Goonies and Monster Squad. So that
yes.
one should be a lot of fun.
I love those, especially Monster Squad. It's a great movie. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to make it out for that one.
Awesome.
And you showed, you guys showed Lost Boys recently, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that, but that is a classic.
I missed that one, too. I try to get out as often as I can for those, but, Friday nights are dicey.
Oh, yeah. Anything about vampires that aren't sparkly, that's a good thing.
Absolutely, yeah. And I was going to say, at least you don't do the Lost Boys sequel, right? I mean, that's...
God, I don't even think I've ever seen that.
I haven't either, but I've heard a couple of things here and there, but you know, we won't go there. I was just gonna also mention, what have you guys gone to? Do you guys go to the Spirit of Halloween store? Do you guys ever check that out? Or do you?
Yeah, I get all my blood there.
You get all your blood there?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just there a couple days ago.
Did you see I don't know if you saw, I posted this online, the emo girl mask. Did you see that?
I saw the picture of it.
Yeah, it's like a. It's just like a generic girl mask that sort of looks sad, maybe.
Black hair.
Yeah, and that's all it is. And the tag on the mask says emo girl. So yeah, that's supposed to be a costume.
Did you buy it?
No, it's
not your costume this year.
Maybe when in a few years when people are nostalgic about the early 2000s, you know, we can go back to there. Which. I really never want to relive that part of the world again, because to me the early 2000s was a really awful time. So,
what are we nostalgic for now? Has grunge come back yet?
Yeah, it's like the 90s, because it's like the 2 year decade thing. You know how that works? It's like, you know, in the 2000s everyone was like, oh my god, the 80s, Michael Jackson, leg warmers, blah blah blah. And now it's more like, you know,
flannel,
yeah.
Doc Martens,
right, right. Which I'm fine with that, but that means that just around the corner is the 2000s. So people are going to be like, man, remember how great the 2000s were? We had all those wars and September 11th. All those funny things we could be nostalgic about. Ugh. So
there's nothing worse than your youth becoming, you know, like a parody of itself for popular culture.
Right. I mean, they've already had a little bit of that. Like, I remember VH1, you know, they have those I Love the 80s and I Love the 90s shows. They had one that was like, I Love the New Millennium. And it was like airing during before the decade was even over. And I was like, you can't be like nostalgic before it ends. I mean, come on now. Give us at least, you know, a few years to get catch up a little bit.
Yeah, we're an immediate gratification society.
We are, absolutely.
I'm still struggling with Nirvana being played as classic rock.
Oh, yes, that is weird. I have noticed that, yeah. Oh. Man.
It hurts my feelings.
It does a little bit. Well, also, like, that also begs the question, if Nirvana is classic rock, like, what from the current time is going to be played on classic rock 20 years from now?
Ooh.
And what would be worth as far as, like, mainstream rock goes? I mean, there's, like, plenty of stuff that's, like, sort of under the radar that's pretty good, but, like, as far as, like, popular culture goes, like, I just haven't heard a whole lot that, you know, could be really excited about. I don't know. Like, I like Queens of the Stone Age. I like the White Stripes and a few things like that, but...
Yeah, those are ones that are they're always going to be around.
Right.
Yeah,
so. Does that mean that, like, Nickelback's going to be on classic rock radio in about 20 Ooh. Years?
Actually, I'm kind of... I think they might, which is bad news.
Yeah, that's...
I guess I put it that, like, if we're going to go to, like, what classic rock would be now, that's like Hermits or something. You know?
Hermits. Although I like Hermits, though. I enjoy... I mean, it's kind of silly and goofy, but I like their music. It doesn't, like... make my ears bleed, you know, in a bad way, not, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I guess that'll be discussion for another day. We discuss the state of classic rock or whatever. But anyway, yeah, I think I was going to ask you about costumes. What's some of the worst costumes you guys have seen? Anything that comes to mind?
Well, we were looking online. There is a Joni Loves Chachi costume out there.
Yes, that's awesome. Yeah, we were looking at, like, the worst costumes of all time, and it was, like, those old, like, plastic costumes that, I don't even know what you could, like, just, like, a weird plastic mask and, like, a weird plastic suit, and the Village People one was good, the police officer from the Village People, yeah, that was one in the 70s, and, also the alien one from the 70s, like a kid's alien costume, which is not like from the movie, the alien, not like just an alien, but yeah.
Right. So inappropriate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think some of the worst costumes are the ones that are like just really, tacky, you know, playing on tragedy or, you know, things that are just too soon kind of issues. Like I remember when, was it Steve Irwin died? And everyone dressed up on Halloween as, you know, him dead with the stinger.
Did people do that?
Yeah.
I never saw that. That's
terrible. I felt bad. And it's like, oh, that's kind of awkward.
I kind of liked that guy. He was funny.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do anything like that. It just seems kind of mean-spirited, you know? And I don't think Halloween should be mean-spirited. It should be fun, and it should be, you know, at least entertaining and not make people feel bad, you know.
It should be sexy. If you put sexy as an adjective for any costume, it works, you know.
Well, dead Steve Irwin.
Sexy Steve Irwin. Yeah.
You've seen they have sexy Chucky and like sexy Freddy Krueger costumes now, which is kind of weird because
I own that one.
You own the sexy Freddy Krueger one? Nice. You should wear it on November 1st just to confuse people.
Yeah. I wore it last year, so I won't wear it again this year.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, it was Freddy a couple years ago. But I think we were talking about it off air earlier. I was Patrick Swayze from the movie Point Break a few years ago, which is, if you haven't seen it, he's like a bank robber who wears like a Reagan mask. And I remember going into Cup of Joe on Hillsborough Street, and I was with my friends, and we were going on the way to this party, and this girl sees me, is working behind the counter, and she says, you know, who are you supposed to be? Are you supposed to be JFK? And the other girl working there says, no, he's Reagan, you dumbass. And she's like, I don't know. Like, how would I know?
Yeah, that costume is several layers deep there.
It is. And then,
there are things going on inside of things there.
And some family walks by, and they're like, look, Mom, look. And the mom is like, oh, I love that president. He was my favorite. I was just like, not going to say anything. We did go to Father and Sons because someone was looking for some costume-related thing. And finally, the guy working there was like, hey, is that from Point Break? And I said, yes, thank you. Finally, someone got it.
So. It's so gratifying when they get the costume.
Yeah, I know.
Because we were talking earlier about mine, my horrible pun one. I dressed all in blue, and I put an electrical cord around my neck, and a recipe into my shirt. What was I?
Cordon bleu.
I was cordon. Yeah.
Hey, you know, that maybe there should be like a pun-type Halloween party where you have to come as some type of weird pun, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, they had the three-hole punch from Office, The Office.
Yeah.
We were also talking about going to horror conventions off the air earlier, and that's a great place to pick up some good costume ideas, too. Like, I saw someone a year or two ago was dressed up as Sharknado, and they were literally just a tornado that they had constructed with all these sharks, you know, like pinned to the costume, and that was kind of funny.
That's pretty awesome.
Sexy Sharknado.
Of course. Well, I like the, yeah, we were talking off air about conventions, and if you've never been to a convention before, like one of those like horror movie or nerd conventions, there's a one for everything pretty much, and it's pretty much the most fun you can have, you know, of anything ever, because what I like about it the most is that you, if you're there for 3 days, that's like the only thing you have to worry about. It's like, I have to eat, sleep, pee every once in a while, and go to this convention. And I love just like not having to worry about work or any other BS. And I really enjoyed it. I went to it's called MAGFest in DC. It was like a video game convention, and there were definitely people in costume there, which was fun. And they had I went down there at 3 a.m. because it was going on 24 hours pretty much, and some guy was playing the theme music to Super Mario Brothers on a saxophone.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I was like, like we were saying before, it's the only place I can feel like slightly less nerdy about myself. So
yeah, the only place.
Yeah, so I love it. But yeah, Stacey, what's like some of the favorite conventions you've been to? You've been to a bunch, haven't you?
I've been to quite a few. I have a friend who's a vendor at conventions, so I sometimes go around and help her, you know, sell, and I get, you know, a free pass and get to just kind of hang out for the weekend. So I've been to Dragon Con quite a few times, and that one's just huge. It's like, you know, getting, you know, not quite as big as the San Diego Comic Con, but it's getting bigger every year. I've been to Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, the Texas Frightmare Weekend in Dallas, and not a convention, but I went to the Toronto After Dark Film Festival.
I've heard about that.
That was great fun.
Who are you the most excited about to meet at any of these conventions?
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell, okay.
Yeah, that was my major fangirl moment.
Nice.
And also, like I was talking earlier, the guy who played in Basket Case, the trilogy Basket Case.
That's pretty awesome.
He had no one at his table, and his autograph was like $10-$15. It was super cheap, so I kind of felt bad for him. But
how much does your average autograph go for?
It varies, but I would say like the average is probably about $30. But you know, they go down to 20 and usually up to 40 or 50, you know, depending on the clout of the celebrity.
Well, it's cool because I feel like, you know, I used to just hear about these conventions happening in L.A. and New York and all that stuff, and it's just like, oh, it's just so far away. I have to plan a whole vacation around it. But now we have stuff going on in Raleigh and, like you said, Charlotte, and I'm all for it because we need more nerd stuff like that happening here. So, yeah, that's awesome. And I think at the Charlotte one, it was – I remember there was some girl walking around with nothing but electrical tape on. I don't know if you remember that.
I've seen – variations of that costume.
Okay, yeah.
I would have remembered that.
Yeah, that was pretty memorable. And Gary Busey was walking around being as psycho as you would expect Gary Busey to be.
I remember seeing Gary Busey quite a lot, because the table I was working at was right across from the table where they had some people doing autographs, and I think one of the weirdest moments was when he bum rushed what's his name, Kirk Hammond from Metallica, is
yeah
his name? Yeah, like, and gave him a big hug, and I'm like, that is the most surreal thing I'm going to see probably in my lifetime.
Two amazing worlds coming together, right?
Yeah. In a very strange way.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was going to mention, I was going to ask you guys about like trick-or-treating. Did you guys trick-or-treat a lot when you were kids?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But I wanted to get away from my house because my mom, she made us that house. She, one year she gave away like erasers for pencils.
Oh, I was just going to mention this.
And then the nickels. She did the nickels.
Ooh.
It's like, oh, come on. So as an adult, this is... made me make sure that, you know, I'm into the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the Three Musketeers. Like, I step up my game because I have to make up for, you know, my family's shame.
No, I was just going to mention that house because my cousin, she took me trick-or-treating around my grandmother's neighborhood, and I remember being enraged because this one house had, like, was handing out toothbrushes. I was so freaking mad. I was like, no, this is stupid. Like, and I remember getting some little Bible verses at one house that angered me a little bit.
I was that house unintentionally once a couple years ago because I had my porch light off. You know, I was not prepared to hand out anything to kids, and they knocked on my door anyway, and I was like, oh my God, what do I have? boxes, individual boxes of raisins.
oatmeal packets.
Containers.
We're never going to that lady's house again.
Now, if you're in Denver, I'd be that house. Candy.
Well, and I was also going to mention, one of my favorite things about Halloween is the Halloween episodes. Every show that was worth its weight had to have a Halloween episode.
The Simpsons.
Yeah, right. The Simpsons is an example. Adventures of Pete and Pete had a great Halloween episode.
Ooh.
That's a really good one. And even shows that, like, you wouldn't even expect had, like, Family Ties would have a weird Halloween episode, and someone would turn into a zombie or something. There was Degrassi of the Dead. There was a zombie episode of Degrassi. That's true.
There was a great one for the show Community a couple years ago that was
zombie. Was that one of the zombies where they get...
Yeah,
I think I have seen that one. Yeah, and Alf had a Halloween episode, which he didn't even have to like dress up or anything. So he was just
right
Alf. Yeah. That's good stuff.
And Always Sunny in Philadelphia had a good one too.
I don't think I've seen that one. Yeah, I guess I didn't realize they still do that, which is a good that they're still every show still has a Halloween episode. It's fun though, and they would have like you know all those like. I don't know if we were talking about that earlier, but all those like weird commercials with we were talking about the Snake Man,
right? Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that's always good stuff. But yeah, as far as trick or treating goes, yeah, I remember going to. I remember a friend of mine stole. I advised him not to, but he took all of the Halloween candy from this one house.
Because they left the bowl out?
Right.
That is the most classless move. How do you live with yourself?
I told him not to do it, and he did it anyway. And the lady came chasing us down the street. And she was like, who did this? And we all pointed to him. And he was like, him who should go remain nameless because I am still friends with him. I don't want to call him out.
Is he a better person now?
He is. No, he's a good guy. He's just, he's every once in a while, even I have my own lapses in judgment.
Was it good candy or was it like double bubble and Tootsie Rolls?
It was like good candy, but still I was like, come on, dude, like don't do that. And he kept, he was like, no, like it's fine. And then she came after us and started yelling at us. And then I was like, give her the candy back. And he like still was like begrudgingly giving it back to her. Like he still felt like he was like, and they say Americans are entitled, right? he was still like, didn't want to give it back. And we were like, dude, just give it back right now. So he gave it back to her. And she was like, what were all the other kids going to do for Halloween? And she still is like standing there yelling at us. And I was like, look, sorry, it's never going to happen again. Like, I'm really sorry. And I finally just kept apologizing to her. And then she finally walked away. So
this was last year?
Last year, yeah. No, it was not last year. It was a while back. But yeah. I don't know. There's something, I feel like Halloween just has like a, it just has something to it. I can't really describe it.
You get some inner part of yourself that you don't let out too often gets to come out and play. It's fun.
Exactly.
It's fun to be scared.
You can be like a big jerk, and there's not really any even more of a jerk than usual. You can just kind of and no one looks at you funny when you're dressed all weird. So I was gonna say so. As far as the Nevermore Film Festival goes, you have the submissions have to be done by December. Is that right?
Yes, we're accepting film submissions now through, I think, December 20th, and we'll be watching them, passing the screeners around through our committee members for the next few months, and then we'll make our decisions late December, early January, and announce the lineup then.
Yeah, so I want to make a horror movie about a terrorist or something that kidnaps all the rabies vaccinations and drops like a pack of rabid raccoons on downtown Raleigh, and he ends up like, so basically they all start biting people and everyone starts foaming at the mouth, and everyone it would be called Foamers.
Awesome. And,
so I was hopefully I could submit that by December, so
get started now.
Yeah, definitely.
Where do you find a bunch of raccoons?
Maybe we get like those like we just get like some like stuffed ones and like have them on like strings,
right, or puppets, just right below camera level, just popping up.
I You need to get some foaming puppets, though. I don't know. Do they sell those on the internet? Foaming?
Yeah, I'm sure we can get some Alka-Seltzer and make this happen. You got to employ a special effects department for that.
I would love that.
I've seen a lot of animal horror films, but I don't think I've seen one with raccoons. Although there is one now called Zombievers.
Oh, I did hear about that.
Sounds like it should be fun.
I was also going to mention, because I was talking to someone about it last night, The Stuff. Have you guys seen The Stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that, Richard?
I have not.
It's like an 80s horror movie about a new ice cream-like substance that's supposed to be healthy. Mm-hmm. It's like this whole commentary on consumer culture in the 80s, and it's supposed to be good for you, and everyone starts eating it, and it takes over your brain. But it's like this weird, like, white, sticky substance, and it starts, like, just, like, running all through your house and just taking over the house.
Sounds like my house.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome, though. It's a classic. And I think it'd be fun to have the Stuff party. Maybe if you were, like, moving out of your house, you knew it was going to be condemned the next day, so you didn't care about messing it up, you could have, like, the Stuff party, right?
The Stuff and The Blob would be a good double feature.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The Blob, that's good stuff, too.
That's disgusting substance double feature.
Oh, yeah, so I guess we're going to have to say goodbye here in a minute. But so where can people find the Nevermore Film Festival if they want to check out that on the internets?
We have a Facebook page, Nevermore Film Festival and Retro Phantasma Series. And you can also just Google. There's a link to the festival page, which currently, will probably just be saying that, we're accepting submissions right now. But we'll have more information up on our website as we firm up our programming later this year.
Okay. And the Zombie Walk.
You can find us all the information right on our Facebook page. Just search for Raleigh Zombie Walk. But it's October 25th, a week from Saturday, 7 o'clock, starting on Moore Square. It's family-friendly. It is free. Living Dead and Dead-ish welcome. But we were talking about costumes. Wanted to mention at the after party at Tir na n'Og, we are going to have zombie contests, and we'll be giving away prizes for best group, best overall zombie, the funniest zombie, the scariest zombie, and then my personal favorite, the sexiest zombie.
Nice. I love it.
As a guy.
Well, yeah, that's great. And, it's been fun today. Maybe you guys can come on next year.
Yeah.
Or sometime. You don't have to come on just for Halloween. You can come on again.
We'd love to. Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, celebrate Valentine's Day. Talk about our favorite romantic comedies.
Right.
Yeah. Talk about Pretty Woman and what You've Got Mail. Is that your favorite, Stacey?
I like Sleepless in Seattle.
Okay. Fair enough. What about you, Richard? Your favorite romantic comedy?
Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Okay, that's... Okay, fair enough. You gotta have a hunky guy like, what's his name? I forget the King of Queens guy.
Yeah, Blart. I don't know.
Whatever his freaking name is. Anyway.
Yeah, that guy's career isn't going out of control. You don't need to remember it.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we have to say goodbye now. The State of Beer is coming on next. And this song is by Susie and the Banshees. It's called Halloween. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.